And that can only happen if we're pursuing the process with the outcome obviously understood, but not at the center of how we're doing life before we attain it.
I think there's just some form of humility that comes out of it, because it allows you to kind of see, how you say, the humanity.
You're listening to the Such Is Life podcast. Fighting through the noise of the struggles of people in the 21st century.
Hey man, that's not right. You can't do it like that. Do it like this.
With the Bible unashamedly at the forefront. Seeking turn-on alignment of spirit, mind, and body, God's way. Here are your hosts, Christopher Nelson II and David Soto.
Tell them we stay winning.
The vibe is immaculate. It's not necessarily the first of the month, but it's close enough to the point where I can sing that silly little meme song. Wake up. It's the first of the month. I brush my teeth and count up. Welcome to the Such Is Life podcast. You already know who it is. This is Chris, and I'm looking at David right across my screen right now. What's up, good sir?
Oh, dude, life is great these days. It was a little hectic. I did have a hectic morning, but on that note, like, dude, let's get it. Because honestly, dude, it's been a while since I've actually missed you. It's been a while. I'm kidding.
I know. It's been what, a whole 3 days? I didn't see him at church today because, yeah, I don't know. He stayed home. He said he wasn't feeling terribly well. So I guess it's just going around this time of
year.
Yeah,
no, I think you passed it on to me by accident.
Yeah, that's a whoops. Yeah, I passed it on to you in spirit. Yeah, I pass it in spirit. Don't worry about it. It's all
right. Pass it in spirit. But I was there. I was at church in spirit. You know what I mean? Got to be extra spiritual.
Amen. Amen, brother. All righty. Like this podcast. If you hear something that you haven't heard today, you know the drill if you've been here before. Subscribe if you want to hear future content. Other than that, it's a new month, like I mentioned. And last month was kind of just the intro, feeling out what the pod kind of looks like. But now we're kind of getting into the nitty gritty. We're getting into some deep topics going forward, I guess, from here on out. And since February is typically regarded as relationship month for a variety of reasons, Valentine's Day, not the least of them, this is going to be the emphasis for this month. We're going to take a look at relationships from a biblical perspective, obviously starting with today's episode where we're talking about understanding rejection. And I'm looking forward to getting into it. Are you ready, sir?
Dude, I am really looking forward to this. So let's get some context as to why we're talking about it. I guess during the month of like September, August, well, both of us were kind of going through our relationship struggles. There was a thing called cuffing season. I didn't quite like, but I think it's the best way that for those who know, and for those who don't worry about it, because we'll probably talk about it later. But I guess I could say that when it comes to like rejection, it's something that can be very hard to take in. And especially during around this time when you're like trying to build up the courage to go ask out that special someone, or you're just trying really hard to understand a very difficult area of your life. Your job didn't quite turn out the way it did. Certain decisions you made didn't quite turn out the way you did. And you start to reflect and be like, all right, what the heck is going on? For me personally, there are two areas that I've been personally had like really bad rejections in. That's one, going to medical school, had a really nasty rejection with that one. And I guess the second one was the ending of a relationship that I really, really enjoyed. But at the same time, God really worked through that. And I think that's something that we should probably like dive into. I remember when I was talking to Chris about it, when Chris was talking to me about his relationship struggles, we were both very, very passionate about what does the Bible say on these biblical topics. So that being said, my guy, how do you want to handle this topic? Where do you want to especially go?
So I think for me, obviously rejection is something that we as humans fear. We don't like it. Obviously, it's not a good thing. So I'm really hoping that we get into sort of the nitty-gritty details of understanding what needs to be understood during those seasons after we've experienced disappointment of some kind, whether it's rejection primarily from the relationship aspect, which is obviously the emphasis that we're building this podcast episode off of. But maybe we can even wander into things like being rejected from a school that we wanted to get into, or from a job that we thought we had a good chance at applying for and getting, but ultimately did not end up doing. So I think stuff like that would kind of be a good basis to build this episode off of, but we'll see where it goes. We always wander into some pretty good details and conversations in those details. So, you know, I'm here for the ride, whatever the ride looks like.
All right. Well, let's get the starting point. You know, let's fasten our seatbelts and dive in, you know? I guess the area that I mainly like was looking into when I was thinking about rejection was actually the story of Joseph. So let's think about Joseph in Genesis 37. Basically, he gets a dream and he basically proposes it to his brothers, and his brothers basically get mad at him. But when he proposes it to his father, yes, his father tries to rebuke him. And in the end, he kind of keeps it in the back of his head. But the main thing is that Joseph just says these things. He says this specific word that really caught my attention. He goes, just listen to what I have to say. Listen to this dream. And he tells the dream, and it's the most, yes, it's boasting to a certain extent, but I also think it's a form of boldness that also comes with this form of, when it comes to decisions we make, we come with boldness, or we come with the idea of taking a risk. And what is it? So... I think honestly, like, yes, Joseph got rejected, but God used that rejection as a form of redirection. Yes, you hear the saying that, whatever rejection is a form of redirection and protection. But I want to go beyond that. What if rejection, this is just a thought, what if rejection is an opportunity for us to see the world through a different perspective? And what I mean by that is, like, I thought, at least for me, like going back to med school, I thought like this was my life dream. And this is something that God put on my heart to pursue with all my passion. Right. And for me to get rejected from med school, or even like, you know, get close enough to be accepted, but in the end, feel that rejection, was really, really impactful. It made me think of like, am I even worth pursuing like school? Am I worth putting myself through this stress? You start really hard on thinking, Lord, like, this is what you want me to do. Why did it not happen? And it felt like the Lord just gave me this sense of peace that, like, you know, whether it's God's timing or not, or it's just something he wanted me to do, he gave me this sense of comfort, right? And that was something that was really, really, really important that I think all of us should keep in mind. Psalms 27:10 talks about, even if my mother and father abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. And I think it's just like that idea that even when, if life hits the fan, or if I get rejected by the whole world, because we keep in mind, like, they rejected Jesus first, right? In that idea, if the whole world rejects me, knowing that my father has me and keeping me grounded on that specific truth brought so much healing and clarity that I was able to actually see that rejection as a form of a blessing, or a different form of perspective of seeing the world through different eyes. That's just me. Where do you want to take that?
So rejection is always a blessing. And I know that that's hard to see just from our perspective as human beings, because we see life from the perspective that is most familiar to us, right? So we're very finite, which means we naturally see the more finite side of life. And so by extension, when we feel like we've put all this work and all this effort into doing something that we think is reasonably attainable and it doesn't end up being attained, all of a sudden we start to go back to the drawing board and think, well, am I really doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And I don't think that that's an accurate perception of reality. It's not a good perspective to have, because it completely ignores the fact that in the grand scheme of reality, there's God's plan for you, and then there's your execution of the plan, right? And that's the whole point of our relationship with God, is to allow him to put us where he needs us when he needs us to be there. And that's a concept we've kind of harped on a little bit in the past, but it really is true. The idea that you can wander off the path that was intended for you is not ultimately true from the perspective of you can't surprise God. Nothing you do, no behavior you ever engage in, no thought you have is unexpected by him. It's a part of him bringing you somewhere, bringing you to a place or a realization that you wouldn't have attained elsewise. So when you do experience that kind of rejection, just at a very general level, understand that it's not about you. It's about God's plan first and foremost. And you're just a piece that he's given a significant role to in the grand scheme of what he's trying to accomplish in this universe.
I would say it's kind of like that quote where it's like, it's God's world, we're just living in it, you know, get it? Mm-hmm. Where a lot of people would say, it's my world, you're just living in it. I was like, no, it's God's world. It belongs to him in the first place. I guess for me, this is just an area that I was mostly thinking about when it came to rejection, is that it's also an opportunity for the enemy to basically come and attack you when you least expect it, because it's when you're most vulnerable. And I mean this with the most like sincere and most caring heart, but like 1 Peter 5:8 talks about to be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking on whom he may devour. And that is it's something to like keep in mind when it comes to those areas where in the moment of that rejection, it's hard to get out of. It's hard to get out of that, like, you know, being sad that things didn't work out the way you did. But I love the fact, Grace, that you kind of say, this isn't surprising to God. Like, you know, it's kind of one of those things, like you make a decision and you're like, oh my God, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I do not deserve to go to heaven. I do not like blah, 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 blah. Like you kind of figure out ways to kind of disqualify yourselves from the blessings. You know, I think the best way I like to think of it is money. Okay. Money's very emotional. I've mentioned this before. I think, I don't remember, but I know I mentioned this in conversations before. And it kind of goes into the idea of like, let's say you spend $20 and you don't have, and like you over budgeted and you're off by like 20 bucks and you need to pay for something, right? Well, the first thing you start thinking is, oh, I can't pay my phone bill. Okay. And then it starts escalating. It starts creating this like domino effect where it's like, okay, I can't pay my phone bill. That means I can't pay for my house. If I can't pay for my house, then I'm going to be homeless. And if I'm going to be homeless, I'm going to die alone. If I'm going to die alone, then it's like, you just see this getting worse and worse and worse. When in reality, it's not that bad. It's just learning how to pick yourself up from that position. And that can come from friends. That can come from people. That can come from anywhere. But it's just learning again to go be grounded in the truth. And at the same time, when it comes to this idea of like, how can I explain? A lot of people tend to think that like things have to happen instantaneously. You know, it's like this idea of impatience, you know, for example, mm-hmm. when it comes to building a podcast, let's just take this for example, right? We built a podcast and we, at least for me, it's like one of those things where it's like, you would think or expect to like blow up very quickly, right? But it's this idea of like reaping and sowing and like putting in the effort and trying that like if our faith and purpose is behind this, this is like a really good quote that I read. If we work out our faith and the desires to meet our purpose on this earth, it will not only protect and redirect us, but part of understanding his sovereignty and free will. And that's where, you mentioned it just a little bit, sovereignty and free will, where it's like the decisions we make now are our free will, but anything outside of that is sovereign. Why? Because if we're children of God, then we have to trust that he's going to direct us to the right place. Here's a perfect analogy. So Chris knows my methods of when I ask out women on dates. And I always try to tell him like, pray before you do anything. And it just goes back to what Paul says, pray about everything, but don't worry about anything and give everything with thanksgiving. There was this one relationship where I was very hesitant to ask her out on a date. I liked her, but I didn't like her enough to know if she was someone worth dating. And so I prayed about it. I was like, Lord, I'm going to ask this girl out on a date. I just ask that if this is part of your will, if this is sovereign, Lord, that you, whatever you put on her heart, if she says yes or no, let it be done. And so I go and I ask her out. And at first she says yes. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to go on a date. This is amazing. Lord, if this is it, like, I thank you so much for allowing this. And on the day of the date, right, I'm about to go on this date, but I pray again. And I go, Lord, I want to make sure that this is still in your will. Lord, if you don't want this to happen, don't let it happen. If you do want this to happen, then let me have a great time. Let me enjoy this moment with her. And in the end, 2 minutes before the date was supposed to happen, she ended up canceling on me. And it's kind of funny because it's like, whoa, like you got rejected really bad. Honestly, I saw it as an opportunity to really praise God and be like, you know what, Lord, you were there with me. You saw things that I didn't see. You heard things that I didn't hear. So for that, Lord, I'm going to give you praise because yes, it's a rejection, but also it's a form of seeing that you hear my prayers and you care about who I'm going to go on a date with. And I think it's that form of heart that is really, really important that we also need to take into account. What about you, Chris? How do you feel about this area?
So I'm going to go back to something you mentioned briefly a little while ago. The idea that we like to think of life in terms of the outcome, but really we're wired in a way that we don't really enjoy the outcome as much as we enjoy the process, because there's no adventure in getting what you wanted. The adventure happens while you're pursuing what you want, right? So that's where the messing around with optimization, this is one of my favorite words in the English dialect, is optimization, right? Figuring out how to best do the process so that eventually when you attain whatever goal it is that you're pursuing, the goal that's been attained is being optimized, and it's being received rather in its best possible form. And that can only happen if we're pursuing the process with the outcome obviously understood, but not at the center of how we're doing life before we attain it. And that ties back into the issue of relationships. Personally, when it comes to rejection, just in my personal life experience, I've been more so on the rejection end, or I guess the rejecting end, rather than the rejected end, if I were to rephrase it. At least in terms of the relationships that I've considered seriously to this point in my life, which haven't been many. Dealing with the fact that I understand people don't see life the way I do, and having to communicate truth that they can apply in their own lives that allows them to have peace despite that rejection has kind of been more so my emphasis in this regard. But I mean, just to kind of get back to your point, when it comes to understanding rejection as a whole and seeing God's sovereignty working in that process, right? Like, he clearly didn't allow that relationship on your end to work because he saw something that didn't need to happen because it wouldn't benefit you in theory. I am not entirely convinced that that's how the fabric of our reality works, but I get that from our perspective as humans, it's like, at a minimum, God didn't want it to happen, right? Sort of ordeal. And at that point, we can both come to a consensus that he clearly has more power over the situation than we do, which is, I think, kind of interesting and important, because it seems like even when we're wrestling with sort of the tension of what's God's sovereignty in our reality versus our free will decision ability, it seems like we make those decisions rather 50-50 in a way that we're not necessarily supposed to. And I'm not entirely convinced is 100% the case, but that's a story for another time. It's a discussion topic for another day. But ultimately, that's kind of my two cents on the issue. It's like, God clearly has a plan for you in relationships. He has a relationship for you. And it's important that when we make an attempt to pursue the process rather than the outcome, and we don't experience success in the process, that rather than being overly emotional and stuck in our feelings of sadness or anger, even, that we just step back, reflect, and realize, hey, God has a purpose for me. This was clearly meant for something. Let me figure out what that is. Let me reflect on the way this interaction that I had with this girl, I guess from our perspective, if you're a woman listening to this, I guess it'd be a guy. Let me reflect on the interactions. How did the build up to this work? How did the execution work? What happened here that maybe didn't go the way that God might have wanted it to? And how can I improve that going forward for the next, again, from our perspective, young lady that I ask out on a date to see if a relationship is in our future?
I would say, like, adding on to that is just assess your motives. Like, don't get me wrong, assess their motives, like, figure out what their intentions are. But at the same time, something about making sure that your motives are in the right place. James talks about, like, you know, you have not because you ask not, right? But it also says that not every prayer is answered because your heart is deceitful. You know, your intentions are in the wrong. And I think we just need to be more intentional with people. This form of, like, ask, just being straight up honest. Honesty is better. It's better to be honest about something that is bothering you than to just tell somebody what they want to hear. And it's very, very difficult. At the same time, I think, just to, like, throw on a different point, I think rejection just throws out, it basically exchanges your pride for humility. And what I mean by that is that, like, you know, if you get rejected on a date, if you get rejected on what is it, friendships, family members, like, you know, it's any form of rejection. I think there's just some form of humility that comes out of it, because it allows you to kind of see, how you say, the humanity of where you want to be as a person and how you want to treat others, you know? And so, Chris, like, for you, my guy, where do you feel like rejection comes out for you the most? I mean, you're not like me. You're kind of very reserved when it comes to your dating life. But what other areas do you find rejection in your common areas?
Just in life in general?
Yeah, or just like in life. Like, where do you commonly find rejection?
Well, you know, until I had my major 2023 realization, I think the major area that I did experience that rejection was in the dating world, right? Because there's a lot of pressure, especially for me as someone who grew up homeschooled. For those of you who didn't know that, I did grow up homeschooled. The more I got acclimated to society, which started really around sixth grade, around middle school, is when I started going out to a homeschooled organization, but it was once a week and it was a very school-like environment. When I started getting out into the world and interacting with other people who weren't necessarily Christian, who weren't necessarily homeschooled, you start to be subjected to obviously their influence, and their influence is oftentimes influenced by society and culture in a lot of ways that they necessarily don't understand. And that certainly plays a huge role when it comes to the issues and the pressures of dating, especially at an age like middle school. It's like, bruh, you've barely hit puberty. Maybe like 10, 11, 12, 13. What on earth are you doing trying to find a long-term relationship? But that's exactly the point. It's not a long-term relationship for most of those people when they're dating in between that age. But those pressures started to build. And over time, the more I started to use my skills that I had really only used in my personal life up to that point for other people, when I started to use them in front of other people, obviously, ladies took note. And I noted that, and that was not an experience that I had had in my life at that point in time. And I made friends with them, and a few of them, like towards late middle school, early high school, had interest in me. And I there was certainly tension there. I certainly wanted to do something about it. And given the other influences that were influencing my life, the people that I was around, rather, and the societal influences that were influencing them, I really did feel like I wanted a relationship at that point in time. And every single time, I never overtly went up and asked someone to be my girlfriend, mostly because I was not allowed to date in middle school, high school. My parents' rules had forever been at 18 is when you can date. Okay. At that point, before 18, there's so many other things to focus on that's just shouldn't be anywhere close to a priority. It's not productive, at least compared to the other things you could be doing in your life at that age. So I never overtly asked any girls to be my girlfriend, but there were people that I really wanted to maintain relationships with so that maybe one day when I was 18, I could. And to experience the rejection very overtly over time, again, I've been more so on the rejecting end than the rejection end, but the ones who I had been rejected by while they were in the minority certainly were painful, because those were the ones that I liked the most. So I think in terms of that and how I dealt with that, I didn't deal with it well back then. It left me oftentimes sad for extended periods of time. But again, that makes sense. You're a younger human being. You're in middle school. You're in high school. So reasonable. But nonetheless, my default reaction was certainly sorrow. And the older I've gotten, not only have I realized that dating at that point in time would have been worthless, not only have I realized that my pursuit of those relationships and the subsequent rejection was not a good thing. But in addition to that, I realized that God does truly have a plan in that. And overall, just to see him working, the older I get, the more I read his word more than I did when I was in those periods, when I was being pursuing a relationship and putting myself up to be rejected, the more I started to mature, in summary, the more I started to realize, well, that rejection was for a purpose, and it started to impact me less in the few instances that it's happened the older I've got. Does that kind of make sense?
No, that makes complete sense. So this actually leads me to my next point that I kind of want to like dive into. It's the idea of like, how do we handle rejection? Like, how should like we as biblical people handle rejection? And I think the first part is really simple and straightforward. Don't take it personal. Just don't. They're people like, you don't know what their heart's at. You don't know what positions like your receiver is at. You know, you can only assess where you're at. You know, you can only control what what God has given you and what you feel, but you do not have like the ability to understand or even know what another person's heart is. And I love this fact that John talks about where whoever eats of my, Jesus basically talks about this specific verse where he goes, whoever eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood remains in me and I in them, right? This is John 6:56. But Jesus then jumps to 6:60, where it goes, one of the disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And then from there it goes, the trouble was not the fact that the teaching is not, it wasn't the teaching, but the person who was hearing it. Jesus basically explains that to the 12 disciples who remained, that no one can come unless the Father has enabled them to. And I like this a lot. And I like this analogy because of the fact that, and this is where I kind of want to take this. Jesus always says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. And it's just the idea of whoever wants to receive what I have to tell them, let him receive. But don't take it personal if they don't. Or even the idea of when Jesus goes out and sends his disciples, you know, and if the town accepts them, then he basically, you know, the disciple will basically sleep or stay at that specific village and just, you know, preach the gospel. But if they get rejected, then they wipe the dust off their feet. Why? Because of the fact that if they were rejected, again, it goes back to the whole, they rejected their father before they rejected me. And so I really like this idea of just having this posture of just don't take it personal. We're all human. We all deal with different things. I think the way that going back to Genesis 37, the way that Joseph's father handled it was, yes, he rejected him, but he kept it in the back of his head. He meditated on it. And I think when it comes to those type of rejections, even the rejector rejecting, take a step back and assess, did you make the right decision? Was it the right decision? Or was it just, he's not what I'm looking for? Who knows? I think a lot of us tend to reject the things that like God blesses us with without even knowing. And the reason why, one of the main reasons why I think that is because of the fact that we don't take the time to assess what this realization is. There are some women who've admitted they liked me before, right? And I've rejected them, but I've always kept my head up and I've always like took a time and be like, all right, did I make the right decision? Was this a good decision? And assess the area of like, am I in the right place to change my mind? Can I change my mind? Should I change my mind? But also, are they in the right place? are their intentions clear, you know? And so it's this idea of just don't take it personal, but allow yourself to assess the situation, assess the posture that they're coming in. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So again, right on the head with the hammer, right? you can't, and it's, again, it's hard to talk about this particular issue without bringing up the aspect of free will versus sovereignty, right? Because the reason why he reflected on that experience, that dream that he had, like you mentioned, is not because he thought it was just a cool thought and was flexing his oh my gosh, look at this, I have these amazing dreams and visions and you guys don't. It was really truly because he was struck by the dream that he had. He knew that there was clearly a meaning to it that had a purpose, and he didn't just create that on the spot. So I don't know if it says directly in the scripture there, he knew it was from God, but we know that it was from God. Ultimately, that goes to show God will not, if you're truly open to allowing God to change your mind, he's not going to let you just escape him. God doesn't go down that easily, right? If you are truly seeking him and you understand that he can communicate to you truth and show you the opportunities that you need to take advantage of, then he will, and you will receive them. And if you share them with people, people might not necessarily always understand that. And you might experience rejection like Joseph did. His brothers just flat out said, yeah, no, you're crazy. Not only are you crazy, but you know, you need to get out of here. Our father loves you too much. See ya, we're gonna sell you into the slavery in Egypt. So, I mean, it just goes to show that when we truly do make an attempt to seek God in these matters, the rejection doesn't necessarily bother us as much as it could. I'm sure Joseph was really, really bothered by the fact that his brothers didn't accept his dream, by the fact that his father didn't accept his dream as legitimate, and they saw it as him being prideful and boasting and thinking that he was better than them. But like you said, he reflected on it, and he knew that there was some aspect of truth to it. So I think if we're putting ourselves in a position to allow God to show us the opportunities in our life that we need to be pursuing, and we reflect on those independent of the way that other people respond, and they will respond negatively at times. If we don't let that impact us, and we understand that God is guiding us somewhere that they can't understand, then I think we're putting ourselves in a position to succeed, not only in terms of relationships, but just in life in general.
Yeah. All right. So we're just going to move on from that, because I feel like you hit every area that I felt like it was already overexplained and great, honestly. So then from there, so where do we go? So I would say pray over rejection, which we've already discussed. We've discussed some of these topics that I feel like are very good. Assessing your motives, which we briefly touched upon. An area that I feel like a lot of people tend to, this is a hot topic, but I feel like an area that is really important is to keep trying, be resilient in these areas, especially when it comes to dating, especially as men. Because we as men are so like really supposed to like pursue women. But that's something that I kind of want to talk on another day. But an area that I really want to be intentional about is the idea of like, it's our job to pursue. So take an opportunity to pursue if you have it. Now, don't be that guy who's just like going to keep emailing a girl and be like, hey, go on a date. And, you know, kind of almost like harass her type of thing. Don't do that. But I think if the opportunity does come, like take a chance. Ecclesiastes 4 just talks about like whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the cloud will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning and evening, and let not your hand be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. And it's basically, just to kind of sum it up, I love Ecclesiastes on this part. It's very cynical, but it's this idea of like, you just don't know what's going to happen if you don't take the leap. And if you do end up getting rejected, what you're going to find is that you not only build resilience, but you kind of have this like dopamine high kind of thing where it's like, all right, let's see how many rejections it takes to get a good yes. Because once you get that yes, it feels very rewarding. I do have to caution, because sometimes like if you ask without intention, you can kind of be biting yourself in the butt, you know, and it could lead to more damage than good. But by inviting with intention and allowing yourself to like take on different perspectives, again, going back to what I said, rejection is an opportunity to see the world through a different perspective. You then assess to see, okay, was I coming off too strong? Was I coming off like this? Or can I like, you know, is it a me issue, or is it more of a, how can I explain, more of what they're going through? You know, are they ready for this type of leap? At the same time, like certain people tend to honor that, you know, tend to be like, oh, I'm so happy that you told me this. I'm so happy that you were upfront and honest about it. Let me take some time to reflect. And if you ever hear those words, those are going to be the most liberating and most comforting words. Why? Because it's a form of, hey, I see you and I respect what you're doing. Let me figure out what this is for me and see how I can best make the best decision, not only for myself, but for both of us, and still come out as like, you know, friends, relationships. You never know. Anything can happen. It can work anywhere if you don't take the time to try. It goes back to what you mentioned earlier, Chris, like last week, where the righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up, you know? And it's this idea of like, we have to build resilience, and we have to be comfortable with rejection, because ultimately it's going to pay off. You reap what you sow, you know? So if you sow generously, you're going to reap generously, you know? So where do you want to take that?
So I like the aspect of Ecclesiastes 4 and the verse you mentioned in particular there, that says you cannot understand. That's what you said, right? That's what you said. The verse says you cannot understand the ways of God or something along those lines, right?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Let me quickly get back out there. Verse 4, whichever reads, verse 5. So you cannot understand the work of God and make all the maker of all things, that part.
And what does it say in the verse after that? It says you can do what you know how to do.
So verse 6 says, sow your seed in the morning. Sow your seed in the morning and at the evening, not let your hand be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's bingo. Perfect.
Bingo.
Like, he's like, okay. Bingo. I mean, like, God has his ultimate understanding and you have your finite understanding. All right. Isaiah 55, isn't it? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Yep. Right. So that means something, and it means something in these instances. You don't know what God is doing exactly behind the scenes, but you know what you can do. And you know that when you do what you know how to do, it ends up producing something within you that allows you to be reflective. Because I think oftentimes we tend to idolize the process of finding a mate, if you will. We tend to think, I need to just try all these different methods. And maybe if this method is not working, maybe then this method will work. And it's like, no, stop. This is you stepping outside the scope of your finiteness to try and do things that you don't have control over. Rather than ultimately try and go straight for the outcome, like, this is what I want to come off as, understand that God is the one who, as Christians at least, is working through us. He will turn us into who he needs us to be, as long as we are feeding what we know how to do, as long as we're doing what we know how to do, which is getting in his word, understanding how he wants us to live, understanding where we need to be plugged in, understanding what influences should be influencing our lives. When we hammer at the very practical decisions that we can make, all of a sudden, God starts to work and we start to, I'd argue, experience rejection less. Maybe not practically, but emotionally. We start to feel the ramifications of not having things go our way in a completely different manner. It's like you start seeing those rejection moments as moments where you learn something that you wouldn't have otherwise learned unless you put yourself out there, unless you endeavored on the possibility that you would not get what you wanted, even though that wasn't your goal. And when you eventually didn't get what you want, you have the understanding now that, oh, it's not something that I have to physically try and manipulate. It's more so I did something wrong. I wasn't feeding God's ability to work in my life the way I should. I was trying to be too manipulative. I was trying to maybe put on a front. I was trying to come off as someone who I am not, and or someone that God does not want me to be. So when we're in this type of reflective mode, because we change our emphasis towards the decision rather than the outcome, and therefore the process by extension, all of a sudden we start to see those rejection moments more as a learning experience for future moments where we're going to need those skills, maybe not even in just a relationship sense. God is trying to develop you into an overall human that's completely different than who you were initially. So, I mean, it's a work in progress, and we have to be pursuing that thoroughly and from the correct perspective in order to truly reap the maximum benefit that God has for our lives and our purpose.
It just all goes down to, like, seek the kingdom of God and all these things will be added on to you. That's all I've been, like, feeling like that's resonating right now. And it's so true that even the failures turn into successes. Like, if we look towards the end of Joseph's story, I can barely remember what he says, but I remember he kind of says that, like, what you did to me was like to do me harm, but God used that to basically bring blessings into my life. I don't remember what part of Genesis that is, but it's the end of Joseph's story. So if anybody's out there listening, like, read the story. But it goes back to this idea of, like, yeah, like, in the end, this rejection is going to be used for the kingdom of God. Why? Because in the end, all good things come from above. And this kind of leads me to my next point, is that we should find rejoicing in these types of things. When we're rejected, we should find forms of gratitude where it's like, at least for me, man, like when I ask out a girl, I am sad that the fact that, or even when I go for a job interview, or even when I go like, just to make it more practical, like even when I go ask like my parents for help or somebody, you know, whether they receive it or not, but that form, whether they reject me or not also, there's just this form of gratitude that comes out of it, no matter the outcome, where it's like, I'm so glad I took the initiative to go ask my boss for a raise. I'm so glad I took the initiative to like do things that like I'm not comfortable in. Like a lot of great things come out of the uncomfortability because it just allows God to work. But where I'm going with this is that sometimes our biggest rejection is also a form of gratitude that we should also be going into, where Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice always. And what does that mean? Like rejoicing in the rejection, but also in the positives too, even in the forms of acceptance, you know? Because in the end, like, I guess I could say this like this. Me and you, man, if we're going to go find like our wives, just to throw that out there, because we're both trying to be married men. But like, if we're going to be our wives, right, we can basically be a red flag to 8.8 million people in the world, right? But we only need to be one green flag for that one right person, you know? And that's something that person is something that only God provides and only gives. But once we have it, we are then rejoiced. Why? Because we're happy that all those other relationships didn't turn out the way they did. We're more happy on the fact that, Lord, you made this. You gave me this. I am so thankful, because if I went into these other mediocre relationships, I would not appreciate the woman that's right in front of me. Does that make sense? Like this form of appreciation. It's why Songs of Solomon has this idea of like when it speaks about his significant other, both male and female, you see this form of like huge gratitude. I do want to throw this out there just to kind of like be careful, you know, but I also feel like the people we end up keeping close with us are the ones we take the most granted. And that's something that we should also keep in mind, you know, because whoever we bring into our victories and our defeats, we tend to not. We also tend to reject them in certain areas of our lives. Like, you know, like, oh, I'm allowed to like. Like we can hang out in church, but outside of church, like, nah, man, like let's not hang out outside of church. We can go get lunch on Sundays, but like outside of Sunday, nah, man, like let's not hang out, you know? And I think it's going back to that intentionality where we subconsciously even reject our friends without even knowing. And that's something that only the Holy Spirit can bring out. And so with that being said, Chris, where do you want to go?
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Is that the verse you're talking about there?
Yeah, Philippians 4:4.
Yeah, so rejoice in the Lord does not mean rejoice in you. So, I mean, that's a fairly easy distinction that we can make off the bat. So it just gets back to, you know, suppressing the pride complex by realizing, yes, you do have the ability to make these decisions, but at the same time, you aren't the one doing most of the work here. Like this is God who's guiding this process. And I think once we start taking the pride out of that, we start to see that we have a lot more of that peace and that comfort in those types of situations. So that's the point I'll make in that regard. In terms of taking the people closest to us for granted, yeah, that's true. I mean, it happens, right? Because we're people of adventure. We like to pursue something that we haven't yet experienced. And by extension, that typically means that once we've developed a source of comfort in a particular area, it means that we don't find that as entertaining or as useful to us anymore. Just subconsciously, implicitly. I'm not saying everybody out there is just going around trying to be like, oh, you're cool. What's your name? Let me get to know you a little bit. All right. Boring. I'm not saying that that's what we're approaching it from, but I am saying that obviously with time, the more you get to know someone, it becomes unfortunately more mundane. And that's boring to us as people to just do the same old, which is why you have to not take the people that you know closely for granted, but you have to find ways to continue to get to know them, right? Which is why I like in-depth conversations. I hate small talk. I hate the little conversations where you're like, oh, how's your week been? What did you do? Like, what have you been up to? Like, tell me anything new in your life. It's like, no, odds are it's probably not. And if there is something new in your life, it's probably a super big one-time event. What is God doing in your life? How is he changing who you are? How have you, I don't really necessarily care as much about what you did. How did you do it better than you did it last week? Type of thing, right? What is God teaching you? And this is why reading scripture is important, right? Because when you start to read scripture, you start to be impacted by more, the more you learn just how practical scripture is. Like even in like the craziest ways that you would be like, oh, I didn't know that was in there. So yeah. Read scripture, be impacted by God by understanding what you've read, put into practice what you've read. It doesn't have to be everything. Maybe pick out something and make that your emphasis for the week and say, hey, God, I'm going to make these certain little decisions that I know how to make on my end, trusting that you're going to do what you're going to do on your end, and see how the week goes. So the same person you have lunch with or go hang out with outside of church the subsequent week should be a completely different person than the person you got lunch with the week prior. It should be that way because it is that way. We just refuse to realize that and take advantage of that. So friendship can be mundane unless you're growing. And you can't be growing unless you are pursuing God's truth in scripture. You're pursuing the application of that truth practically in your life. You're understanding that, and you're understanding not only the new things that you're improved on, but also the new shortcomings that you had based on your better understanding of God's standard. And when you have open and honest conversations about the how and not just the what, all of a sudden you start to take those friendships to the next level. The mundaneness starts to go away. And look, we're building a community that's more God-centered and empowered so we can, again, I'm going to continue to mention Deuteronomy 28 because I think that's the standard for God's people. It's like we are felt on the planet Earth. We are confident. We have a community of people that can go do spiritual battle on a day-to-day basis. That's who we can be. Mm-hmm. And that's where it starts, 100%.
It just goes back to Corinthians, where it talks about 12:37 specifically, where it talks about now you are the body of Christ and each one of you has a part of it. It helps when it comes to this idea of just trying to bring it back to rejection. It helps to like process rejection when you bring it to friends and be like, yo, dude, like, I don't know why this happened, but I really, really, really want to bring this to the team and let's dissect it. And usually when it comes to, when it comes to our friendships, most of the time when it came to my personal like experience and growing as a person, most of that came from those conversations. Chris should know. For those who don't, he's going to hate this, but I'm going to love it. I get to finally put him back on the hot seat. But basically, one time we went with a group of friends to go eat lunch after church, and this dude started asking relationship questions. And he just put me on the spot. He just kept asking a fire heating question. And I get where he was coming from, but it was not fun when you're on the hot seat. But at the same time, it really helped me because, and I'm finding appreciation for this because it helped me assess areas that I got rejected in my life, like where my understanding was lacking, where my scriptural knowledge needed to go. And it got to the point that there were some females there was a female around there that was also just so curious to find out what the male perspective of dating was. And she got out of it. She learned something out of it. So it's just like bringing rejections to your friends and to the people that you bring closest to not only provides an opportunity for prayer, for people to have community with, but it also allows you to assess different perspectives of what your friends are trying to get you to. Because they can call you out and be like, yo, bro, like you were too strong on that part. Or maybe be like, hey, dude, I don't think it's really your fault. Because, I mean, the way you speak about it. Yes, there's two sides to every story. Yes, in the end, like, there's a form of, like, the Holy Spirit has to, like, convict. But if God's blessed you with the community or if God's blessed you with certain people, use them. Use them to, like, the best of your ability to understand areas of your life that you never thought were, you know, in this realm. You know what I mean? And I feel like we as people just don't. We have this, it goes going back to pride. I love how all this is kind of like going back to each other. It goes back to pride where it's like, I can handle this. I can do this. I can figure it out. If I change my approach like this, eventually I'll get there. And the reality is, yes, you will. You'll figure it out, but you're going to go through so much pain and so much suffering than just going to a friend and being like, hey, I see that you have a successful relationship. Can I pick your brain and talk to you about my rejections, talk to you about my successes? And then from there, it allows you to basically, he'll like, by the conversation, God will then from there, if both of you guys are centered in Christ, God will bring light to that. And then from there, healing comes out of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yes. And for that, man, like, I do have to say I appreciate you, because you always put me on the spot when it comes to these type of areas, because of the fact that you not only challenge me as a friend, but I also hope that I can I've been able to challenge you, and it also keeps us accountable, being like, hey, what did you learn this week? What did I learn this week? How can our perspectives come together? What are concepts that we're struggling with? Community is just such a big deal, especially when it comes to rejection, because you just feel so isolated. You feel like no one's in your corner, when in reality is, going back to linking it to gratitude, by taking a step back, finding out, where did I go right in this decisions? Where was my heart? Was my heart in the right place when I was choosing this? Or was I being deceptive? Or was I being this so-and-so, you know? And then from there, once you find out and you kind of come to the conclusion, okay, I did some wrong things, but I also did some good things. I'm going to work on the wrong things, but also focus on the good things. Why? Because my good things eventually have to outweigh the bad things, you know? And we as people tend to focus on the bad more than the good. And so with that, man, like, that's all I got for today.
Brody. So, you know, I love this guy. He's so open and honest. He's like, he pushes me, man. He pushes my comfort zones. He pushes my limits. And it's like, yeah, you're absolutely 100% right. Always have. Always will. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So, I mean,
not a care in the world. Not a care in the world when it comes to me, man.
But I do
the same thing to him. I put him on the hot seat every once in a while. But okay, let's talk about this one time, just to kind of like go on a side tangent. What is it? This dude. It was like, I would ask him a question and I would be very spiritual about it. He'll be like, which one was it? He'd be like, yeah, so like, what kind of aspects or characteristics do you find yourself? Like, what areas of your life do you feel like are define you as a person? And I would say something like, you know, honestly, I focus on the Lord and I just ask that, like, he adds these things on to me. He goes, yeah, but what exactly does God reveal to you? I'm like, yo, dude, like, I need those details. I'm like, and then I'll be like, well, this is the best way I can explain it. And it's almost like an unsatisfying sour taste. And I'll be like, okay, but how, why specifically, can you be specific? And I was like, I haven't had enough time to think about it. Okay. Let's think about it together. I'm like, okay.
Yes. This is so true. It's so great. I love every moment of it. It's fantastic, man. I got to get your creative juices flowing. I got to get you to think. You got to get you to dig deep in that brain for whatever good stuff the Lord has put in there. You got to get it out.
No, so true. But then when I throw it back at you, this dude tends to simplify it when it's way more complex than it has to be. Because like, when it comes to sovereignty and free will, he's like, yeah, sovereignty. Basically, everything's laid out for us, but we have the free will to choose the areas that we want to go into. Okay, but like, how? What does that look like? And he's like, I don't know. This is how I think about it. I'm like,
oh, man. Goodness gracious. Because I could wander down so many different paths that would just be so ineffective. Like, I've done all the thinking for you. All you need to do is receive. Okay.
Oh, my God.
But I do like that. I like diving into the details of stuff. So if you ever ask, and that goes for anybody who's watching this, by the way, if you ever want to ask anything, like, specifically, I'll get into detail about it. I have to watch out, though, because like, people don't want oftentimes a whole dissertation on a topic that they're often expecting like a one or two sentence answer to, which is unfortunate for me. So I've had to, unfortunately, work on shortening. But I love having those dissertation conversations. I was going to mention something. There's a topic came to mind. Actually, no, say what you're going to say first.
I was just going to finish it off with this. Like, I think like those areas of just like taking the steps and just being like, you know, cause you know how like you go very in depth, but For me, I like to go broad to go in depth. Like I create the funnel, you know? And it's nice because what we end up finding out is that each funnel comes with the specific main points, you know, like you can drop, like, you know, you can pour water down like a stream and you're going to find that it goes through many different outlets, many different pathways, which is perfect because then from there, we just keep opening those rivers, if that makes sense, those bypaths, and just seeing where God takes us. It's like, I always say this before, but it's like going down a rabbit hole where it's like, you just don't know where you're going to get out. And once you do get out, you find this new sense of like clarity. And that's something that I really want to point out with like the way I speak to you, man. Like, it's just something that I've always enjoyed because we not only tackle on tough topics, but even the simplistic topics, we tend to just not simplify. For example, we talked about, we mentioned this on previous podcasts with the idea of like God's ability to change his mind, and you use scripture, right? But I tried to think of it through a humane perspective, because I mean, theoretically, yeah, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's always beginning to end, right? But keep in mind, God's also human. So there had to be moments in his life where he probably changed his mind. Maybe when he was up in heaven, yes, I can agree. But when he was down to earth, that is also a possibility, which is something that I'm still trying to figure it out. You know, I haven't found the verse that's perfect for it, but I think that idea of just us throwing that back and forth and seeing how that works is just so beautiful. Anyway, where were you going to go?
1 Samuel 15:29.
Okay. But like, I can talk about John and I can talk about Mark and I can talk about Luke. The gospels are perfect because he was human.
Yes, but no. And we might actually have to dedicate a whole podcast episode to that now that I think about it. It'll just be like the debate. Chris versus David. Does God have the ability to change it? Well, I mean, so that's fun. That's a fun topic.
Okay.
But I guess since we're kind of wrapping up here, I'll land the plane with this. This is a good way to land the plane. Last point I was going to make that pertains to rejection. So, you know, you mentioned pride. Pride was kind of the theme throughout this episode, which is a good thing. It's like the main contributor to our confusion in this area and how we should respond to rejection and how we should react going forward. I think another aspect of pride that we didn't really talk about a ton is the fact that we feel like we deserve it. We feel like we deserve what we want. And it's like, maybe if you thought about it, like very generally, but no, you don't.
No,
absolutely not. Matter of fact, that's just a general thing in life too. One of the things I hate the most is when people are like, I worked so darn hard for that. You have no idea. And they use that as like a justification for like a point that they're trying to make. And I'm like, yeah, good. So you did what you're supposed to do. Like, good job. Like, look, God's grace is the only reason you're alive right now. Like, you didn't earn it. You don't deserve it. And still, he gave himself away. What's that song? Reckless Love. It's like, so when we approach things like relationships from the perspective of, number one, I deserve a relationship, it's just bound to not go very well from the beginning. And you're more likely to remain in that rejection type of season when things inevitably don't go your way. But number two, just thinking about relationships from a very temporal perspective will also make that rejection season last longer. So for instance, if you think that if the primary dictator for you pursuing, say, a young woman is, oh, I think she's attractive or she has similar hobbies to me, it's like, is she a Proverbs 31 woman? Like, is that it? Is all you see in her what you can actually see? Or are you going to focus on the other two major aspects of turning on alignment, her mental state and her spiritual state? Because it seems like the physical tends to wear out pretty fast as we get old. So you're not going to have that forever. And at that point in time, you're probably going to be disappointed if that's the foundation of your relationship. But it can also contribute to rejection too, because especially when you're younger, when you have attractiveness on the brain, tends to be a distractor. Right. So I think if we reduce that pride aspect, the element especially of I deserve this, and just realize, no, you don't. Be thankful that you have the opportunity to have it, though. Like, Jesus paid it all. His grace is sufficient for you. You have the ability to have a relationship with someone someday that hopefully is just completely blessed by God, completely set up by him. You didn't fight him in that regard and you got your godly woman. So we can fight that pride with gratitude and reflection, kind of like we've talked about on this episode. And number two, just ensure that we're evaluating the people that we are pursuing from a complete perspective. Like we talked about turning on alignment, the spiritual state, the mental state, in addition to the physical state, all three of those together. If you're truly pursuing somebody who you can have a long-term relationship with, those three should be equally considered, ideally with spirit being the first in that sequence, kind of like we talked about last week. But it's like, if you're pursuing all of those, it will be easier for you to see, well, maybe I was rejected because God was trying to show me that I didn't consider one of those aspects as much as I should have. Maybe I was too focused on the physical and what I could see and not focused enough on, ooh, what's influencing her mind? What's her media like? What music is she listening to? What shows? How is that impacting her thought process? Does she read her Bible? Does she make an attempt to have a relationship with God? And I think oftentimes, at least in my personal experience, the times where I've experienced rejection, whether I'm rejecting or being rejected, oftentimes I really hadn't considered each of those three aspects the way I needed to in that regard. Any other closing remarks before we wrap up today's episode, sir?
I guess two areas that you really, really harped on, the idea that like we deserve a relationship. We don't. It just goes back to the idea of his grace is sufficient. You know, how can I explain? Like, you know, for example, like Jesus died on the cross, right? He died for our sins, right? Like we can both agree on that, right? Just to make sure. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
Just good. To make sure.
I just wanted to make sure I got that. Yes. And it's this idea that like we don't deserve the fact that he died for our sins. We didn't earn it. It goes back to the whole idea of the meaning of grace. There's nothing we can do to earn his grace. And it's so beautiful. Why? Because as men and like people who go into a relationship, at least the goal in mind is marriage, right? And marriage is basically the simplification of like, you know, dying to oneself, but also lifting each other up, but mainly specifically to the man is loving unconditionally. And oftentimes I hear men, like married men, say, my wife, I do not deserve my wife. And it's true. Why? Because God gave them that woman. You know what I mean? Like it's only given by God, you know? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like there are a lot of guys who go, like a lot of husbands who go, I do not deserve my wife. And that is a form of grace that people just don't seem to like, you know, understand. And I think that's something that's God's grace right there. You know, he who finds a wife finds something good or finds favor from the Lord, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think it's part of that where it's this, we're not going to go into that because then that's going to be another rabbit hole that I don't want to go into. I guess another area that I thought was really interesting that you spoke on was, and it reminded me of The Bachelor. I think 2000. Yeah, I know this is weird, but this is something that I remember as a kid. My family, my little, specifically my sisters, they watched one season of The Bachelor, this specific season, which had a Christian man. I don't know his name or anything. I don't know anything about it, but I know that he was a Christian man who was on The Bachelor. He was a true Christian man, and he was choosing a Christian wife, and everyone thought he was going to pick this specific woman to be his wife, and he picked a different girl. You know, and everyone had different mixed feelings about it. And it goes back to this idea of like, check their character. Do their hearts swim blind? Do they also have the spirit inside of them? And what I'm noticing, and this is just me reading Acts, is that the spirit constantly leads. It constantly perfects. And, you know, when, for example, when Stephen died, or Stephen, whichever you want to go with. I call him Stefan because it's technically, we're not going to go there.
Get out of here.
We're not going to go there. Like, let's not go there. But when Stephen died, that was part of like God's sovereignty, you know? And everyone thought that was a big rejection. Why? Because of the fact that like, you know, everyone's killing Christians, you know? But God used that as an opportunity to spread the gospel across the world. Why? Because if he kept them in Jerusalem, if no one died from persecution, I'm pretty sure most of Christianity would have not spread as much as it did. And at the same time, this is all being led by the Spirit. So trusting that God's Spirit is inside of you and is leading you, even the mistakes that you've had, like I've made a lot of mistakes. I probably made one like this morning, you know, but this idea of like trusting that God's will is you're on God's will, not finding God's will. Does that make sense? Like you're on it. So therefore, by trusting that you're on it and trusting that the Holy Spirit's guiding you, there's no such thing as coincidences. Like, dude, Chris, like, it was not a coincidence how we met, and we both can agree to that. It was not a coincidence how we met because, like, I'm like, is it all right if I can share like a little bit of what you told me like the other day?
Sure.
Okay. So I remember when Chris told me that his mom prayed for a friend and he told me this, I was like, dang, that's crazy, because I prayed for a friend around that same time that we met. And so it's just really, really cool to see like the fact that the Spirit was also leading us to meet each other and have this amazing friendship. And it's just one of those things that you, when rejection does happen, which, like, you know, I've had a lot of friends that failed friendships, you know, like not all friendships lasted, but it's this idea that I planted seeds and that's all my purpose was. This idea of that, hey, I'm here to reap and I'm here to sow. I'm here to pour on to people. And whether they accept it or not, that's not my problem. It's God's responsibility to pour onto them. It's God's responsibility to water that part. My job was just to plant the seed. And that's something I think we should, that's perfect to close off on, is this idea of, hey, let's just like, our job is just to plant seeds, but it's God's responsibility to sow those seeds and watch them grow so they can bear fruit. And it's beautiful. Why? Because later on, let's say 20 years from now, we get to see why things didn't turn out the way they did. And we get to find new levels of appreciation that we never quite had. So that's where I'm going to end it. What about you, man? Like, where do you want to end it?
No, I've already said my piece. I'm good.
I know you said your piece, but like on that note, my friends, we actually got 1,000 likes on TikTok, which I thought was really, really cool. I did not check the views because there's just too many now, and I really just don't. But I just saw TikTok the other day, and I just wanted to point that out. So for that being said, for those who are our TikTok followers and just watching us on TikToks and the Reels, thank you so much. We appreciate you, even though we have no idea what we're doing. I'm kidding. No,
speak for yourself. No, I'm kidding.
No, we're just having fun out here, and we hope that you guys enjoyed this content. But for that being said, like, we appreciate you guys. Feel free to shoot us a DM or any form, like and subscribe, you know. Chris, you want to take it away and close it off?
Yes, sir. Always. Thank you all for listening. It's been a good episode. Hope y'all learned something about rejection today that you didn't know. I hope maybe my good buddy David learned something about rejection that he didn't know either. So it was a good episode. 24/7, 365. He stays learning.
77247. Get it? Because it's 24/7. Yeah, I don't
know. Oh, my word. You know what? Follow us on Instagram if you don't already. I just flashed it up on the screen on the YouTube. But if you're listening to this, I'm podcast. I am at IAMTHASECOND. Soto is at Soto, SOTODAVID 203. We'll answer your questions there if y'all have any. We'll just have conversations because we like to talk about rejection. Yeah. We like to talk about other things. And we're here for it. So
yeah. At the same time, if you ever want to hang out with us, just ask. Like, we could always just do a Q&A session, you know?
For real. Sundays after church. I don't know where to find us. Probably Cheesecake Factory.
Hey, dude, that's your favorite place now.
Oh, Cheesecake, bro. I was deprived. I loved Cheesecake Factory as a kid, fam. Let me tell you, we didn't go there nearly as much as we should have. It's just that elite and amazing and awesome. So, I mean, ain't much else to it.
Yeah, it's technically the worst place to take a first date is what I found out.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That person needs to reevaluate their perspective on Cheesecake Factory. Heck,
I know.
It's right? Elite. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Take your first date there. Take your second date there. Take your third date there. Hopefully they're all the same date. Peace out, y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in.
Peace.
Peace. See y'all next week.